wagon of the Ku Klux Klan.
Highest leader.
When this bridge was completed, I think in 1940 or so, they wanted a symbol. They wanted to name the bridge after somebody who would send the signal of stay in your place, because symbols are more powerful than words. And so this is a very powerful symbol. Every time someone crosses the Edmund Pettus Bridge, it gets in them. Every time someone sees a photo of it, it gets in them. Every time one sees something on TV, it gets in them. So that's why in the Senate, I got introduced a resolution to change the name from Edmund Pettus Bridge to the Freedom Bridge.
And the state of Alabama last year passed a law that said you cannot change the names of any of these so-called iconic white supremacist symbols.
That was attorney and civil rights activist Faye Ora Rose Touré, and before her, former Alabama State Senator Hank Sanders, speaking to Jeffrey Robinson, who is the subject and writer of this remarkable documentary that's called Who We Are, a chronicle of racism in America. Emily and Sarah Kunstler direct it. We thank you all so much for being with it. That does it for our show. I wish everyone a safe Martin Luther King Day weekend. I'm Amy Goodman. Wear a mask.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. Due to the temporary closure of in-station activity at KBOO, meetings will be conducted online via public video conferencing unless otherwise noted. A public link and phone number to attend the meetings are available at our website. The Finance Committee meets on the third Thursday of the month at 4:30 p.m. Please visit our website at kboo.fm to verify if a meeting is being held.
Good morning. You're listening to KBOO Portland. This is The Gap. And with me is, of course, the magnificent, the thoughtful, the super genuine Althea. Yeah, you like that one, Althea. How are you, Althea?
I'm good. Thank you so much for all the compliments this morning. I was dancing to the theme song and then my neck cracked.
That's how you know it's working.
I know. That's the thing you need first thing in the morning. Happy to be here. With you.
Of course.
Beautiful
drive here.
It was a beautiful drive. Folks, we've been coming in here in the pitch dark. In the cold and the dark. And yeah, the sunrise this morning. Gorgeous. And I know that we're in like the depths of January right now. The depths. Mm. But it just reminded me like spring and summer are, they're coming. They're working their way here.
I forgot about those.
Yeah.
I didn't realize how much the weather was affecting my mood. Like I didn't.
Yeah,
I think it's like everyone knows this is a thing, but I guess I didn't realize how I literally the other day when it was warm, I felt hopeful. I saw a flower bloom. I'm like, well, I shed a tear of hope. It was beautiful. I'm like, oh, right. I remember this place is amazing. I love it here.
Yeah, I remember distinctly that happening to me last year where like I was like, I don't know, driving in the middle of the day. And I felt the warmth of sunshine on my face. And I was like, I got to put my sunglasses on. And I like wanted to cry because like, just warmed from within and from outside, I guess. Wow.
That vitamin D, man, you know, it does something.
One hell of a drug, I tell you what.
Yeah.
And then a quick story. I was driving here. It's like the beautiful sky and like the shadow of Mount Hood. Mm. And it just reminded me last weekend I went up to Mount Hood. And I haven't, like, been up there on a clear day before. And that mountain is terrifying.
You know, I've always felt a slight it's not that it's jarring. It's very dramatic.
It's very dramatic. It's so big.
It's a little it's intimidating.
Also so pointy. You don't see that. I'm from Washington. We got good mountains over there, but that one is so pointy. And I was out with my friends. We're like doing stuff, and she'd be like, "Look, there it is." I'd be like, "Huh."
There's a little fright. I'd give a little shriek,
and it reminds me of the word awesome and awful have the same root, and terrible, terrible and terrific have the same root word. And I was like, oh, I understand why it's this mountain. It's right there. And then when you see it in the dark, and it's like, but you can still see it because it's white and it's whatever in snow. And I was like, okay,
look, think of all driving, that just by having a little bit of sunshine, and it's bringing up all this beautiful memories.
Yeah. I just start thinking about nature and outside. And the enormity of the world. But that's not, are we here to talk about the enormity of the world? Not
sometimes when you feel so little, it's almost comforting to know that things are bigger than you.
Anyway, this is in fact The Gap, talk show here on Fridays on KBOO. And we like to split our show into two halves. So the first half, Tammy and I will be chatting, and then we'll go to a song, and then around 8:30 we'll have a question for our callers. So stick around if you do want to chat with us. We got a lot of coronavirus things to talk about today.
I didn't pitch it.
No.
But it's important, and there's a lot of developments.
There's a lot of stuff going on. Yeah, in different places for sure. One of the big ones is that the Supreme Court yesterday ruled on the vaccine mandates for large employers that OSHA put out.
Yes, out of 9-6 of them were like, none of this. We will have none of this, which happened to also be the more conservative ones. Mm-hmm. And so I think the OSHA ruling is any private business that has 100 employees and more have to be fully vaxxed or get weekly testing.
Yeah.
And the Supreme Court blocked this. Besides healthcare workers and federal workers, but I guess that's been the case since November. So
yeah, that no well, change right, in that like front. The federal government can regulate federal employees, mm-hmm. and I think it has enough of an interest in healthcare workers that it was able to uphold that part. But yeah, definitely interesting. I mean, I think that there was some suspicion that the Supreme Court wasn't gonna. Some things they just really let them roll by in recent memory, and this one was not one of those.
When we were talking about this, you're saying that Nike and Adidas are
Columbia,
still,
I think.
Columbia, they're still going to do this. So it's like kind of how we talked on other shows, other episodes, where it's kind of like, well, you make something that it inspires other, whether it's states, municipalities, or businesses, organizations to like, oh, you can do that. Oh,
right.
Interesting.
And so, I think also inspiring as it, like, I think there's a part of it that is like, this was the action taken by the federal government and companies were getting in line with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also kind of like the, I don't think virtue signaling is the right word, but like, you know, if you're a company that has interests that the federal government might touch, such as trade regulations, mm-hmm. and you're like, well, I mean, I know your thing got overruled, but we did comply with it anyway. We thought it was really important. We really liked your idea.
We're best friends, right?
Like, you know, that is a tool for lobbying as well. And if you're a company that could extend the distance that your money goes, depending on, I mean, not even which party, like they lobby both parties, companies too, you know, it's like, but like who you're trying to buy favor with.
At what given point, right? There's always the, every 4 years, unfortunately, And it's interesting. I wanted to get some audio for listeners from the justices or something, but I couldn't find any. I did find a couple of quotes. It's very much split in between the more conservative judges, justices, and the more liberal ones.
Mm-hmm.
It's very much like, this is a workplace safety issue. What do you mean? You're not going to uphold this. And then the conservatives are, I think, like, the big word I got from it is overreaching. This is a lot of people, like, this would have affected a lot of people, so it makes sense that companies were kind of, like, creating the process for it, at least, or something, because, mm-hmm. There would be fines and all these different things and layoffs if people were like, no, you know what, I'm going to go work somewhere else. So so it was blocked, and that's all they wrote for now.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm sure that, you know, with the labor shortage that's going on right now, for some companies, I'm sure that's really welcome news to not have to lay off workers as a result of that, or fire them, I guess. But yeah, just like a quick note on, you know, the sort of like, because I mean, we can see it in that conservative and liberal lens, but, you know, ideally, and in its like foundation, the Supreme Court isn't supposed to be political like that.
Of course, yeah.
Obviously, that's not, I mean, you know, let's have a debate about that. But
sure, I'd love that. Yeah, sure. I shouldn't make it so binary. But yes, there are other ways to look
at it. They are tasked with something, which is you have to make a legal argument about it. And there's kind of like two big frames of thought when it comes to the Supreme Court, because they're trying to reconcile whatever this action is with the Constitution. And a lot of conservative justices, I don't know that they, like, not everybody is 100% in this camp, but is like trying to figure out the original intent.
Right.
Like, we got to stick within the confines of this document that, you know, was written in the 1780s, and for the government to grow and change beyond that is like, we're going to be very skeptical of that. Versus, you know, there's the other school of thought, which is like, it's our interpretation of the Constitution has to change and grow with time, because time is growing, time is changing. There are demands of the world today that, you know, 1780s couldn't have thought of. There were some great ideas in the Constitution. I think we can all agree. But, you know, like applying those to a more modern context and not being so constrained by literalism. So, I mean, from a literal standpoint, you know, and within that like frame of, you know, how to interpret the Constitution, it's like, well, you don't get to make those, like, you know, right to privacy type of stuff, and that OSHA and the federal government are overreaching to try to require that kind of thing. So anyway, just a little tangent about where they're all coming from. But yeah, so Nike and Columbia Sportswear are moving to fire their unvaccinated workers who are also don't have their exemptions, whether that's health or religious exemptions. Nike, I think that's happening this Saturday, and Columbia, it's on February 1st. So big Oregon employers doing that kind of thing. worth talking about for sure. There are a couple other COVID stories we wanted to cover. Is it cool to move on?
Yeah, sure. We can do I'm uploading the audio, so it'll take a second.
Okay, you want me to talk about I'll talk about the other one. So
okay.
The Oregon Department of Justice is conducting an investigation into a for-profit testing site. This was reported.
That's never good.
Yeah, this was reported by Willamette Week and by the Portland Mercury, that there's this testing site called Center for COVID Control. That's
original.
I mean, sometimes I don't. I'd love to see the numbers on this. It's like when the name is a little too on the nose. This is like a really obscure and deep cut, but a long time ago in Seattle, there was like, basically they created a fake charter school so that they could have poor kids play on the fancy fancy sports teams for like a private school not like allow them to like go there on their own, right? And they called the charter school that they like sent them to the educational institution. And it was like, we weren't a little, and of course they like learned nothing there, but it was called the educational institution. Or no, the academic institution.
It's like the learning annex.
Yeah. Send them off to the learning annex. Anyway, Center for COVID Control. Let me recenter here. Basically, state and county public health agencies have basically no oversight of testing facilities that are run by private companies. And the Center for COVID Control is this national company, and they say that they offer rapid antigen and PCR tests across 29 different states, and a bunch of other states are actually investigating them too. So the Department of Justice got a couple complaints when they opened up in the Portland metro area in October of like not people basically aren't sure about the validity of their testing and their testing sites. In Oregon, one person said that their rapid test was past its expiration date, and another person never got their results. a news investigation in Florida found that in Florida, the Center for COVID Control Test Sites emailed a family their supposed negative test results from the testing site while they were still in line.
That is super rapid. That is rapid. That is a rapid test. That's like, did you see that? I just ran around the block.
It's like I had a premonition. what's the movie called? You know, just the foresight of like, this family, they're in line. Get them. Like,
that is so bad.
It's not a good look. It's not super compelling. But it is, it like the Center for COVID Control, right? It does come up when you like search for COVID tests near me, like county like endorsed places, community health places, even like pharmacy partnerships like Walgreens and stuff are overloaded. Like it's really hard to find tests.
Yeah, there's a greater, you know, need for it than supplies right now. And it's, this is literally what happens when it's, you know, it makes me think of like war profiteering. It's like
pandemic tearing.
We'll figure it out, but it's a workshop in it. But yeah, you know, it's like, God, it's so scary to think like, you know, we at some point knew so little, and then it's like comforting to be, you know, to be able to get tested, or you need it to go to work or to school or whatever, and now all of a sudden it's like, what? I'm still waiting in line. What is this premonition rapid? That's too quick. Yeah. That's too rapid.
And also, you know, go with me here. If you had that power, don't hide your light under a bushel, man. We need it.
Now you're telling, CCC, now this is when you're telling us. You've known this whole time.
You had it in you to just look at somebody or sense that they were in the vicinity and that they did not have COVID. And you could just send them an email.
I hope they investigate it. I don't know. Someone's getting sued.
And that happened in Florida. Like, the ones in Oregon are still like a little bit of like oddball, you know, experiences that people had. Like that they're like, you know, scan a QR code, put in your own nasal swab, and like, you know, put it in your little bottle, and then go sit in your car, you know, and then you get your email, right? But yeah, it's very interesting. And, you know, they have to have, so like there are certain regulations, right? The Oregon Health Authority, there's like a particular, like, what do you call it? Certificate from like the Department of Health and Human Services to be running this kind of lab.
Like, they're certified by.
Yeah. So they have like a certificate ID, and all of their like test results have that on it, but the company doesn't share any of the test results with the Oregon Health Authority. And I mean, they haven't been operating here that long, just since like October 2021, but still, like, I'll go out on a limb here, folks. Giving somebody a fake negative test result on purpose, pretty bad. Understandable that sometimes there's fallibility in these tests, but yeah, I'll take a brave stand. I think that's bad to be doing that kind of thing.
There's some wild stuff here. My goodness.
Yeah, and as of Thursday morning, the three locations in the Portland metro area are closed. Temporarily closed, listed on Google. So that is what's going on there.
That's so confusing, and that's so, yeah, that's very anxiety producing to know that this is the stuff that's the best we can do, huh?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, I think that it's frustrating, and like, you know, it's not people's fault for wanting to get tested or like wanting certainty or like needing to go to work or to school and like make sure that they don't have COVID. And yet there are, and you know, I can't get over the name Center for COVID Control. We're controlling C's. COVID at this center.
Well, you know, that makes sense. I had a teacher, was a professor, he said, if you make a new business or something, if you have it similar to a business that's already existing, it already gives you some sort of clout with, you know, everyone, with the public. So
yeah,
that sounds legit, you know?
That's so true. What is it? It's like, it's called like, there's like an economic theory called like hotel theory or something, which is why you sometimes see like a bunch of grocery stores next to each other. It's like, literally, like, go over there. They need groceries like 2 miles down the road. But it's like siphoning off from each other, and like, yeah, that somebody might type it into Google slightly wrong and suddenly end up here. I mean, I know I've I can't think of a particular time, but I know that I've done that before. It's like, right. Huh, this is slightly different than what I was actually supposed to be looking for, and I've made an error.
And there's, I'm reading here, and it says that apparently they're calling this a scam, which is a very strong word. Mm. Because I, you know, if it's like these are just folks who tried their best and are failing miserably, that's one thing, you know. I mean, there's a lot of people who have jobs that they're just bad at it. You know, it happens. You know, but they're calling this a straight up scam, and that's even more hard. Yeah, you know, freaking just profiteering.
Yeah.
And that if anyone is, because you know now people are asking, well, how can we find reputable places to get tested? And they're saying, you know, if you think you've been in a scam, let us know. But mm-hmm. what is it? One of the Hunger Games is going on here.
Yeah. I mean, it also like kind of highlights an issue with this, right? Because there's all of these testing sites that are affiliated with the state and with the county health agencies, right? Mm-hmm. That have like been connected for a long time. And these for-profit sites, like there's nothing inherently wrong with them, but because they don't have any oversight from like health agencies, they're like the only way to like get a look at them is on a complaint based system. Mm-hmm. So like this stuff started happening a while ago, and only now do we get the investigation. Only now is it even getting looked at, not even to mention whether or not it's getting fixed, because it's a complaint driven system.
And this is very much kind of like the damage is done, you know, like what are you going to retroactively, I mean, sure you can test someone and what again, but what about if, you know, they just spread it around, like that's just so I don't know, like I said, someone's getting sued. That's going to be my little catchphrase.
Someone's getting sued.
Huh.
That's the energy for 2022. 2022, someone's getting sued.
I like it. It rhymes, too. and we do have a final COVID-related story. And this is I like that we're ending on this one. This is a good note to end on. Good. Yeah. Would you like to introduce it?
Sure. So there is new research from Oregon State University that shows that hemp might help fight COVID, which
some people have been said that.
Can I tell you? I heard that, like, I mean, obviously, like we reported on it, but then also like I heard it on one of the rock stations yesterday.
Oh,
it's like. Guys, get a load of this. Like, weed, it's good for COVID. Get into it. You know, every radio station, everybody's having a field day with this. But we do have an interview that KBOO's Doug McVeigh did with the professor who did the research. We're going to take a listen to that.
A researcher at Oregon State University says that compounds in hemp may help to protect against COVID.
I'm Richard Van Riemen, professor of pharmaceutical sciences at Oregon State University. I'm also a member of the Linus Pauling Institute and the Global Hemp Innovation Center. And I'm interested in discovering natural products that have pharmaceutical benefits and can function as therapeutic agents. Over half of all drugs that we use today have their origins in nature and natural products. And there, I'm hoping, tens of thousands more we can discover.
Now, let's get one thing out of the way first. This is not about smoking or vaping, right?
Correct. What we've discovered are cannabinoids that are in an acidic form, cannabidiolic acid, CBDA, CBGA, and THCA. And if these compounds are heat treated, they can lose that acidic group and convert to other molecules, also cannabinoids that have other properties. CBDA becomes CBD. And I'm sure many are familiar with CBD products on the market right now.
Tell me about your new article. What prompted your research?
Well, when COVID began, we started teaching remotely and some of the laboratories got shut down, and those labs that could keep operating, and at least in our campus, we're focused on COVID research. And so we decided to turn our natural product drug discovery research group's attention towards finding new anti-COVID compounds. And this is the first of, we hope, many discoveries to come out of that work that's ongoing. And we've decided to attack the COVID-causing virus, the SARS coronavirus 2, at the entry point where it infects cells. And so we're looking for compounds that could interfere with that recognition step where the spike protein of the virus attaches itself to the human cell.
What did you find?
We were fortunate to find some compounds in hemp. We tested many botanicals because botanicals produce a lot of different natural products that are called secondary metabolites. And hemp in particular is one we wanted to test because it is more complex than many plants and produces many unique compounds. And many of the cannabinoids are unique to the hemp plant. And in that work, we were fortunate to discover three compounds in hemp that had particularly good binding activity and could attach to the spike protein of the coronavirus. And that's the point at which it attaches itself to the human cell. And so like an antibody, but we're using a much smaller molecule from nature, we are able to block that interaction and stop the virus from entering the human cell in the very first step. What we're going to do next, we're hoping to obtain funding to continue to test cannabinoids against Omicron and other new variants of the coronavirus. And we want to move towards clinical trials and do some pilot studies to establish the appropriate dosage forms to achieve blood levels that our data so far predict should be effective, and then to carry out studies of efficacy in partnership with clinicians.
Dr. Van Breemen, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
That was my interview with Dr. Richard Van Breemen. He's a professor of medicinal chemistry in the Department of Pharmaceutical Sciences at the College of Pharmacy at Oregon State University, a principal investigator at the Linus Pauling Institute, and a member of the Global Hemp Innovation Center. Dr. Van Breemen is one of the co-authors of an article entitled Cannabinoids Block Cellular Entry of SARS-CoV-2 and the Emerging Variants, which was published January 10, 2022 in the Journal of Natural Products. Reporting for KBOO News, I'm Doug McVeigh.
Well, there we go. There we got it. Straight from the source.
Thanks, Doug. Yeah, I mean, very, very, very interesting stuff. I just feel like so much of, like, I don't know, everybody's been so stagnated and it's like, oh, it's the vaccine. And it's like, you know, Pfizer does have like a new antiviral drug that hasn't been approved yet, yada, yada, yada. Just different things are happening. there is more yet to be discovered. I appreciate that.
What I got from that is eat it, don't heat it up. And I'm thrilled for there's so many, especially since this town is a fan.
And it's state, just good
to,
actually
the state, yeah, so it's good to know that, you know, while you think you're hanging out, chillaxing, chillaxadaisical, you're really fighting COVID.
Yeah.
You know? He said CBN, CBA. He said all these acronyms. Okay, go ahead. That's thrilling.
Chemical compound roundup.
Botanicals. They're doing it, you know, obviously scientific. Now I'm just getting the vibes. They're doing it all. They're scientific about it, but, you know, just the way you're describing it, I'm just imagining, like, people sitting in a circle, like, kind of like, how are you feeling now? But no, it was obviously a lot more.
Figuring out the best way to administer that. And, hey, that's, like, I think, well, because my understanding of what they're talking about is that it's, like, not, it, like, it would inhibit COVID from even being, like, taken into your body. It sounds like it would be like an added immune response.
We're full capacity, get out of here. Full capacity, we're chilling.
We got some cannabinoids that will actually have to see you out. Who do you know here, actually? Yeah, those cannabinoids say they don't know you, so you gotta go.
this is good. This makes me feel very good.
I thought we'd end on a little bit of a, you know, positive note. There are people working on it. And sometimes I think it includes hemp.
Once more, you know, we'll just know that stoners may save the world. So, you know, why not? I'm here for it.
So we are going to go into our second half here in just a moment or two. You are listening to The Gap on KBOO Portland. We're so happy to be here with you this morning. We're going to take a quick break in the form of a song. And we'll be back with our community questions. So get your phone ready if you want to call in and talk. See you in a sec. We'll be right back.
Yes, you're listening to KBOO Portland. This is The Gap. That was a great song.
Oh, my God.
Yes,
I enjoyed that. What was the song?
I Do Be by Nightmare on Wax.
Okay.
Highly, highly recommend. I like that. I feel like that just went very well with the last segment, too.
Yeah.
Yes, you're listening to The Gap here on KBOO Portland, your favorite local community radio station. And we are in part two of our program, in which we ask you, the community, a question. This is like a community building exercise, you know?
Yeah, of course.
And I love it, and y'all love it too, so here we are. And for today's question, I like how we got to the question, because we do prep before the show and we talk. Sometimes it's 20 minutes, sometimes it's like 3 hours. It really depends.
We want it to be good, okay?
Yeah, and it's really try to go down all the rabbit holes that conversations could lead to, and we're very mindful about it. But with that being said, well, I forgot exactly what we were... I think we're talking about the gubernatorial races and the different people that are racing and that are in the race, the candidates, and we were just kind of like going back and forth about what we think of them, and then you're just like, well, I guess it depends what you're looking for in your legislator. And I was like, oh
yeah,
that's a good question to ask. So what do you look for in your legislator when you go and you vote, and you because we're about to be courted very soon. All of us are.
I like that. I think I was like, we're gonna be bombarded.
We're gonna be courted
by the primary election, but everybody's gonna try to saddle up and say this is who you should vote for coming up very soon. And like in Oregon, a lot of important races actually happen in the May primary, especially if there's only two candidates in the race, you know, one and done.
It's a good time to think of yourself and what you need, because you know,
yeah,
so that when you're ready to hear everything, you have it from a clear point of view.
Yeah, what are you listening for? So yeah, we got more to talk about, but 503-231-8187 is that phone number. Please do give us a call. So yeah, we were talking about some of the governor candidates. Obviously last week we talked in depth about Nicholas Kristof, who is currently challenging that ruling from the Secretary of State that says that he can't run because he hasn't lived here enough for 3 years. But you know, other things that kind of like had me thinking about this, that the Republican National Convention is trying to pass a rule to ban their future nominees from participating in debates that are like with the Democratic candidate, that are put on by like the nonpartisan commission to put them on, basically saying that like the debates were rigged. They're very mad at NBC. I know that. and that's like, right. They're saying that they don't want to participate in those debates anymore. And that, I mean, even that is like, whoever their nominee ends up being could decide to do a debate anyway. Like it's not,
it was
super
a little
binding.
Counterproductive to not do that, you know, to not, the whole point is that can you stand your ground when you're being challenged? You know, it's the point of echo chambers, you know, just kind of
right.
Like, you know, but yes, keep going.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, I mean, that's another thing that I'd love to hear from people. Like, what is the merit of like seeing a debate? Does that help you make up your mind? I'd love to hear about it, especially kind of like I think that I'm just interested in talking about it right now, 'cause we're outside the thrall of particular people, right? Because if it's like, suddenly we get into it and there's two people, you know, running for a particular position, and it's like, I like one of them and the other one refuses to debate. And it's like, what the heck? Get in there and talk to each other.
Right,
like, let's figure out, you know, shake it out who's who.
You literally sound like you're talking about toddlers right now. I'm just putting that out there.
But yeah, I wonder, you know, outside of the context of particular people, is that something that is like meaningful to you as a voter? 503-231-8187, I think. I would love to hear what folks think about that. I know that, excuse me, some of the discussion about this was, you know, like, there's not a whole lot of other venues where you see two opposing candidates side by side. And I guess I'm talking national here, but just debates specifically, like, a lot of, it's rare that you see the candidates that you're looking at in the same place. And that from a national perspective, it's maybe the only time you're going to hear them really challenged about their policies. You know, whatever town hall they're at, they're really vetting the people they hand the mic to. And things like, you know, foreign policy, like, you're not, that's not, doesn't usually take center stage at your town hall, and rightfully so, but it still has an impact on how somebody, if you're talking about president or Congress, like how they're going to govern.
Yeah, I mean, it's I feel like debates are definitely something that are necessary. I think, I don't know, I feel like debate used to, you know, because I don't know if you did debate club, but there's like rules and there's like like decorum that you're supposed to that you're supposed to follow, and it doesn't, like, at least in the last debates, it didn't it didn't really seem like any, like, there was no grace, there was no I forgot all the phrases, but, you know, you're supposed to, like, yield your time when you're, you know, like, there are things you're supposed to do. It doesn't seem like the rules were followed. So I don't think, like, it was a debate. It was what I've been seeing lately are not debates. They're very much, like, spectacles or just kind of, like, feeding lines for Twitter to then regurgitate and meme out into the metaverse. So I think debates are great and healthy and... maybe they need to be a little bit more. I think the last debate, they had control over just like muting the mics. So I think that's like,
I think I,
if we've got,
that might
that.
Be the one that they were like, you muted him. We got it. No, we're not coming back. Okay.
I,
whoever potted down his mic, you're done.
But that's what you know, I mean, if you're not going to follow the rules, you know, in order to keep the, not the respectability of the debate, but in order, I mean, there is a sense of some, I mean, I don't know. I think it's okay to mute someone if they're going over their time or just, you know, or just going over your time period. You can even go on a tangent. I don't care. But there's like a limit. The facilitator can also, but.
Right. Because, well, I mean, okay, the point of what is the point of a debate? The point is to see your options like laid out before you, right? And how can you truly weigh those options if one of them like gets a ton more time? So like there's a reason that there's like time limits and that you could talk about whatever you want and make yourself sound great. We actually really want to know about this one thing that you've been criticized for, and like here's your time to talk about that while people are watching, and your opponents right there are going to be like, well, I don't know, you know, like having that space to actually look at the two of them, because I don't know, I think that it's important, but there's like definitely an art to it.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. And it seems a little, I mean, it's just a little like, how, if you're running for presidency, like, shouldn't you be able to debate anyone? Because if you can't debate like a person who's on the opposing party, how are you gonna, like, you know, debate world leaders when they're opposing, you know, like democracy or like opposing, you know, everything that the place that you're leading is about? Like, it just seems like it just seems very, very silly. And I think, as far as like for the question that prompted this of like what you're looking for in a candidate, for me personally, it's someone who can have debates with people and not like just not, you know, just kind of like disappear or keep themselves in an echo chamber, because that's, in my opinion, a slippery slope to extremism.
Right. And I think that makes me think of, you know, like you want somebody to be able to stand on their own merits. And this is something we were talking about when we were discussing Nicholas Kristof last week, who is this New York Times columnist who wants to run for Oregon governor, that like, you know, whether you're looking for someone who's been in, you know, the legislative, congressional, whatever world, or somebody who's outside of it to change it. One thing that I don't think it's like talked about enough is like, how much of it is based on relationship building and having relationships with people that you can then, you know, work and leverage to be able to get the outcomes that you're looking for. And that's not, I mean, I just think that that's something that needs to get thrown in every now and again, as you have, you know, candidates who are from, you know, inside government, have been in the system for a while, and people who are outside of it.
And we do have a caller on the line, Tawasi. If you are there, can you hear us?
Hey, yeah, I can hear you. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
Yeah, you know, I feel like debate is super important because you have to have a to and fro on certain issues so that people can sort of claim their territory, if you will, and say, this is what I believe and this is what's important to me. However, you know, there are certain things that, in my opinion, aren't really up for debate. And, you know, in that regard, we're kind of at a place in politics where a certain party is just down for dehumanization of half of our population, just by more than half, if you're a person of color, an LGBTQ person, or, you know, even just a woman, then there's this horrific viewpoint that, in my opinion, isn't up for debate. And, you know, I just recently was challenged to debate a racist, and I don't see any point in it, because there's no, like, well, racism is good, that's going to convince me that I should change my viewpoint. And I think debate is about, are you flexible on something? Are you willing to hear the other side and potentially be willing to change your opinion? That's my feeling on debate and why I think it's important.
Yeah, thank you for that. I think, yeah, definitely if someone was like, argue with this racist, I'll be like, no, thanks. I'm not going to, it's in any way try to legitimize my inhumanity to some, like, right. Doesn't seem like it's a useful, like, yeah, it seems not so even counterproductive.
That's why I could see the RNC pulling out, is because they're at that point in their political exchange where they've embraced out and out racism, and you know, various forms of violence against whole swaths of our country.
Mm-hmm.
And clearly, in my opinion, it's politics in general, because it all boils down to companies like CoreCivic and Geo Group and these guys, or, you know, these different investment firms, and they're the ones who really control the politics. And interestingly, they also control the discourse, unless you're KBOO Radio, in which case it's community controlled discourse. So thanks for everything that you do for us.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I really appreciate that perspective. And, you know, the Republican Party right now, it's kind of like, you know, you can't win by the rules that have existed. So you decide not to play in the debate, not to pass voting rights legislation, because you're afraid of, if it's more easy for people to vote, they're not going to vote for you, because by and large, the American populace disagrees with Republican policy.
Mm-hmm.
But the Republicans are very good at the rhetoric. I will give them full credit where that is due, that it does make it seem that they are, you know, they sound good. They don't always look good on paper. People, like, the numbers don't lie. People agree more with Democratic policies. So, yeah, that's very interesting. And, you know, what does it mean when somebody doesn't want to play anymore? I think that is interesting to think about.
That's true. And you know, I think it's more telling, you know, like I said, like, what exactly are you doing by this? Because it's like, I don't know, it's like, yeah, I think there's something to that. It's like, we've put ourselves out there and y'all don't want us, and you keep making fun of our ideals and values. And it's like, yeah, because you're kind of bigoted, you know? And it's like
yeah.
Again, this, like, can we meet halfway? Like, can we at least, like, how can you have discourse with someone who thinks that you shouldn't exist, or that
right.
your choices you or you're not even, like, your life is immoral in some way? It's like,
right.
Well, that's where it starts and that's where it ends, you know? That's it. And we do have Jen on the line with us. Jen, can you hear us?
Yeah, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Yeah, hey, Jen.
Great. Hey, thanks for your show. I really love it. I love the song you started off with. It's amazing.
Hell yeah.
I'm always dancing to it too.
Yay.
Yay. I wanted to say what I really look for in politicians. I've been doing grassroots organizing for about 10, 15 years now. One of the big things is to get big money out of politics. And I think you've brought it up in your last show. Oregon is one of the worst states for allowing corporate money and big money interest into our politicians. I mean, obviously, we see what happens on national levels. It's the big corporations, the big lobby interests. You know, the fact that our oil and coal industry is still subsidized by our taxpayer money, it's all because these industries are embedded in our politicians. Our politicians take all kinds of money from these industries, and that's who they listen to. They no longer serve the people. They're serving the corporate interest. And that's where we need to start, is getting big money out of politics. Now, there's a group here in Oregon, specifically in Portland, called Honest Elections, and they're working really hard at getting big money out of politics. And it really needs to happen. I mean, that's the only way we're going to really make change. It's just ridiculous, and people they honestly don't know about it. The other issue that we have with debates is that our debate system is totally flawed. It's a corporate system as well, the Democratic and Republican Party. I love Ani DiFranco when she says the Democrats and Republicrats. They only allow, the national debates only allow the Republicans and the Democrats to be able to speak. Third-party candidates cannot speak. I don't know if you remember, a few years ago, Jill Stein was arrested trying to speak as a third-party presidential candidate outside of the national convention to speak on the national debates. Ralph Nader as well, for years and years and years. This past election was the only time in my last 20 years of voting I voted for a Democrat. I've always voted third party. Every time Ralph Nader ran, I voted since 2000. So 2021, sorry, or 2001, that's when I turned 21. Anyway, this is this huge problem. And Ralph Nader was just on alternative radio speaking this last Tuesday with Dennis Barsonian. I totally suggest anyone to listen to that show, to cue into Ralph Nader's radio hour. If you haven't listened to Ralph Nader speak before, he's an amazing inspiration. He's one of the top most 100 most influential people in American history. He's like 90 plus years old, and he still is just on fire with information and knowledge about this very fact. And he says it really only takes about 1% of the people to be actively involved. And where we need to focus right now is Congress. We all know their name. They need to be doing our bidding as people. And they're not. You know, it's like, he's like, we need to be having congressional watchdog groups in every state, in every county. We really need to be on our local Congress people to really be making effective, positive change. So that's my two cents. You know, we really need to get the third party and other party candidates that are running for president to be allowed in the national debates. Otherwise, no one's going to hear about them, obviously, on the national television, because that's who still people listen to. And the meta universe of Facebook, whatever, they're all controlled by the corporate interest.
Thank you, Jen. That's, yeah, very well said. Always good to recenter on campaign finance. And yeah, the trappings of our two-party system, it does very much pin us in. And yeah, you don't see movement from the major parties until they start absorbing third-party ideas, and that it takes people who are really engaged. You know, it's not anywhere we can try to lower the bar to obtaining electoral information, being able to vote. I think that is a positive thing. Thank you so much for calling.
Oh my God. Yeah. Another thing is, though, as Chris Hedges said, it doesn't, he votes, he always vote, but it's not going to take electoral politics to change. It's going to take people getting out in the streets and mass movements. In the past, that's always how it's been. That's always what, you know, what happened with Joe Biden just being out and wanting to call for the filibuster to end was due to all the people in the streets down in Atlanta, the Black Voters Matter people really pushing for having their rights to be able to vote. It's just crazy where we are in this day and age. I'm, yeah, appalled.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Jen. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, and do we have another caller?
We do have. I'm just going to patch him in real quick.
Okay, no worries. Yeah, I really appreciate all of the thoughts so far. We do have about 10 minutes left. If you are thinking about, you want to chime in on this conversation, 503-231-8187 is that number we're talking about. What do you look for in a legislator? What are you thinking about with your candidates and your politicians? You know, we are about to be heading into that May 2022 primary season and, you know, wanting to think about these things ahead of time. Tammy.
Yes. And we do have John on the line. Are you with us?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for taking my call. A real quick note on the debate. I've always thought that in campaign strategy, you use cast the wide net as a theme, and Democrats tend to do that. And what you're aiming to do is energize your base as well as to not piss off the independents, the swing votes. And the Republicans have gone the other way in the last few years by really narrowing their base, narrowing it and building it up and energizing it with lies for the most part. Those lies can't be exposed to the people who might be swing voters because they'll get pissed off and vote the other side. And so I think that's Republicans have the strategy that fits what their message is, which is that you have to have a really narrow base, but that narrow base has to be completely energized, even to the point of storming the Capitol. So that's really what I had to say, but I think that the Republicans are choosing the strategy that's going to that they feel will work best, and that is don't debate. It's just going to piss off the swing votes.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks. That's a really good point. Setting a cast net. I can't. I don't know what I'm saying.
Casting
a wide net. Thank
playing
you.
Playing the cast nets.
Yeah, like that was always
classically talk about.
That was always
the
like
cast the nets and cast the wide net.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the 101.
Yeah. Thank you, John. Appreciate
thank
your call.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank
have
you.
A good rest
good
of your
work.
Day.
Bye bye.
Sorry,
yeah,
I'm
I mean,
just
if you
got
to keep alienating yourself, that's you know that's what's going to happen. But that's yeah, that's a really good point. I hadn't even thought of that. We do have one more caller. Ron, are you there with us?
Showing up.
Awesome. Thank you. How's it going?
Pretty good. The last time I considered voting for a Republican was when Barbara Roberts was running against Norma Paulus. And that was like in 1990. I think debates between the parties is worthless. You know, they're all everyone's dug in. There's really no point in even having a debate between a Democrat and Republican. You want to keep debates. Debates are okay in the primaries, but as far as general election, it's worthless.
Interesting. So you don't get anything from the debates?
Not between a Democrat and a Republican. I mean, you know, the Republicans have their rhetoric and their talking points, and the Dems have theirs. And I mean, clearly in this point in time, everyone's dug in. So, I mean, why even bother with a charade?
Mm.
It does nothing but, you know, set social media on fire. And all that is both camps dug in and firing off Twitters.
Yep, the political theater for the Twitter universe.
Yeah, looking for that clippable moment.
It used to
be
sound bites. Now it's a hashtag. Yeah.
See, look here, look what they said.
Yeah.
That proves everything that we've been saying about how awful they are.
Mm. Well, thank you for that. I really appreciate it, Ron.
Yeah, I appreciate the perspective.
All right, man. Keep up the good work.
Thanks. Thank you. Take care. Have a good one.
Have a good rest of your day. We do have some minutes left if folks would like to call in 503-231-8187. We're talking about the merits of political debates and what do you look for in a legislator?
I'm getting a lot from the input, you know.
Yeah.
There's a range of things that people are looking for, and some of it is more focused and some of it is just like, no, this ain't it. I don't want this. This is all, you know, political theater.
Yeah. And I think, yeah. I think even just figuring out what are those like baseline things mm-hmm. that are impactful, I think is really important. And definitely the kind of campaign donations that they take is very important, because look, campaigns need money to run. They do. That is unfortunately not negotiable at this point in time. However, where they get the money, how and where those funds are cataloged and how, you know, cloaked they are from the view of everybody else is certainly important. And yeah, campaign finance reform in Oregon, I believe it's necessary. It's the wild, wild west out here. You know, we're on top of a lot of other things when it comes to progressive politics, and that we are so absolutely out of control when it comes to campaign finance it's a bad look. It also creates bad policy in the end, but I think that it is, you know, ultimately something that is a net negative for us, because you see the outsized influence of corporations, of moneyed interests, of industries that are willing to bankroll somebody but don't want to put their name to it. I think that there's, like, no matter what political affiliation you have, there's no reason that you should be excited about one guy with fistfuls of cash controlling your legislator. You want them to be able to listen to whoever they're supposed to represent.
And also live here for at least 3 years.
Yeah, that too.
And we have one more caller on the line, and Edie, you are on.
Thank you. I don't want to have whoever we say is our president or a legislator to be based on a debate where it's I'm right, you're wrong. And it's just who has the best speech writer with the quick little talking points that they can quickly memorize and quickly state with a certain acting. I don't think that leadership is based on I'm right, you're wrong. I think it's not based on humiliating and degrading someone else, but on self-accountability and listening and comparing, compassionate empathy, and a commitment to doing our part, knowing that we're all interconnected. And I don't want someone who's quick thinking necessarily, even though I have often been faster talking than I am at thinking. I want someone that can be quick in responding to a situation, but have the depth and the time to introspect and listen and to build relationships. And when I listen to other people who have served in Congress or the Oregon legislature or who are lobbyists, they say that what makes the biggest power and influence that one has as an individual is one's reputation for being a person of integrity and heart. People may disagree with, for example, the stance that Joanne Hardesty took as an Oregon legislator, but knew that she was impeccable and consistent in her stance. And there were two men in the Oregon legislature who became close friends, defending and supporting each other when one was a Republican, one was a Democrat, because they were seeing the integrity and the decency of a human being, and we're not going to be in the I'm right, you're wrong, us versus them, but all of Oregon together.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking that we have expensive campaigns because of the expense of using commercials. But we don't need to have commercial media allowed to have so much free space, especially our airwaves. But they need to prove that they are serving the good and not exploiting, and else they lose their charter. And at the same time, we need to find ways to work together and not allow ourselves to be easily manipulated by the fast reactions of fear, I'm right, you're wrong,
yeah,
enemy or friend. We've got to take the time to make ourselves so that if they push our buttons have no juice for us to react the way they robotically push us to be.
Right.
And so we assert our independence, and we've been doing that. And we need to keep on giving our money and our love to KBOO. And we've been doing that with our mutual aid for our neighbors who are denied housing. We can continue to do that. Elizabeth Grazer Lindsay in Clackamas, running for Oregon legislature, willing to look at both sides, looking for the Oregon representative in Congress, Jamie McLeod Skinner, who is a person of impeccable integrity, was an out queer long before anyone else, lives in Central Oregon, and has earned respect by and from environmentalists and engineers and also her Republican neighbors.
Yeah.
These are the ways in which we need to say we are not going to watch and to give marketing, advertising eyes and dollars, and we're going to hold our airwaves accountable.
Yeah.
To serve us.
Edie, we are running just out of time here. I want to thank you so much for calling in. I really appreciate your input here. And great to talk with you today. Great to talk with everyone who
Thank
called
you.
In. This has been The Gap. I'm Althea. Tammy's here as well. You're listening to KBOO Portland. We so appreciate you tuning in today. And
we'll be back next week.
We'll be back next week.
Yes, same
Tune
time,
in to
same
KBOO
place.
On MLK Day. We got a bunch of great programming planned.
Yes. See you. Take care. And yeah, sorry, Victoria. We'll talk to you next week. Girls, we run this. Girls, we run the world.
listener-supported community radio, KBOOO.
Tune in Tuesday nights from 8 to 10 p.m. for The Melting Pot, featuring DJs, producers, and electronic artists from around the globe. Win tickets and stay up on events each and every day.